Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there and welcome to New Life Live. You can see, if you go on Facebook Live, you'll see that we're up here in the trees over here in Indiana with Becky Brown. Becky,
hello.
Heads up all of the stuff that's the really great quality counseling, the thing that changes people's lives. And Dr. Jill Hubbard, who, well, I'll tell you this, I've said it before, maybe the wisest female, well, certainly the wisest on radio, but maybe out there in her neighborhood. I'm not sure. But anyway, grateful for Jill. Jill, how are you doing today?
Good, Steve. Not up in the trees, but I'm doing good.
Yeah. Well,
here in Laguna. I'm,
right there in Southern California.
In
no, but she used to be.
I know.
Yeah, we did move out
You're
of there.
So right, but I'm in Laguna Hills.
Okay. Yeah, there
so
you go.
I
That's
wasn't,
close.
I was only half
Kinda.
Off.
All right, I want to tell everybody about something because it's really, really important. This Saturday, Chris Williams and I are doing Finding Freedom. Now, a lot of folks, you think, oh, I don't want to pay for a big bunch of counseling. I don't want to go for months of counseling. I'm going to tell you something. You can get some answers to what you're struggling with this Saturday. And a lot of folks, I've said this so many times, you go through life, you think, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be. But you've got all these regrets that are not supposed to be there. Or you've got all this dread of the future that's not supposed to be there. Here's another thing. You think this is the way it's supposed to be, but somebody has shut you down, and you need to be free, but not, you don't have to be free of them to find freedom to be who you are. And we're going to look at all of those things. Some people, you have depression, and for some people, I kind of relate it to noises. There's this boom, and you sink into a depression over an event. And it's everybody would say, yeah, well, if I lost that or if this happened, I'd be depressed too. There's this other sound analogy that I call the echo. It's a recurring depression. Sometimes it comes around every year about the same time or certain seasons, and you've been through it before. And every time you go into it, you're paralyzed because you don't know how long is this going to last and how deep is it going to go. And then there's another kind of sound depression, which is silence. You just stop everything, and you don't know where this is coming from. You've never experienced it before. You don't know what this is. We can help you with that. And if you're experiencing depression alone, I mean, there are so many people that have it, and sometimes it's caused by the anxiety that we've got going on. And if you're not anxious a little bit in this world with all that's going on, you need to be, I think, a little.
I'm thinking about somebody who went to Finding Freedom last fall, and his whole entire life has changed. It's just amazing how spending some time really reflecting on the places that you're stuck, the things that you feel are lacking in your life, and then to begin to put into play some of the tools that you're going to learn. And the greatest thing about this is it's one day. We don't normally get to offer this.
No.
And so since many of you are you've been stuck in your house, and I know some of you might be sick of Zooming, but listen, you need to Zoom all day with us for Finding Freedom because it's going to make a huge difference in the rest of 2020 and beyond. And that's what we want for you. So check it out today. Go on newlife.com or you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and find out all the details.
You know, somebody posted on Facebook, in the black community, depression isn't acknowledged very much. How can we help someone who doesn't even want to say, okay, this is depression? And then, of course, you've got the whole adolescent issue. And so That's just depression. It's just one of the few things. A lot of you have a little habit there that you know is not just a little habit. It just keeps coming back. We'll help you with that. Finding freedom, you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It'll never be more affordable, never more easy to access. I think that's proper, improper grammar, but yeah. I think you know what I meant.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Jill Hubbard, Becky Brown, and Gina from Durham, North Carolina is on the line. She watches us on Facebook Live. We're glad that she does. Hi, Gina. How are you today?
I'm well, Steve. Hi, Becky. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Gina.
Now, just speak right up there because we want to hear every syllable that you have to say.
Okay. I have been overweight my entire life, and listening to you ask the previous callers, was there someone in your life that triggered shame in your life? Yes, that was my father from a young, young age. And so, anyway, I have had even weight loss surgery, the gastric sleeve, and have gained about 40 pounds back. I understand I probably should have had a lobotomy, not a sleeve gastrectomy, but because it's more, you know, of a, well, it's as much a mental game as it is a physical game.
Gina, so, before you go on, Gina, before you go on, quick question. What was your maximum weight?
Oh, I'm going to say probably 290.
And what did you go down to after the surgery?
200.
You went down to 200, and so you've gained 40, maybe.
240.
Well, and can I ask a question too, Gina? How did you feel at 200?
Oh, it was delicious. Everything was just perfect. You know, you fit in this, and you could drive that, and you could buy cute clothes, and you didn't have to go to the plus size, and you got to go to the this size, and you weren't hungry. Praise the Lord, you weren't hungry. You couldn't make any more bad food choices because you couldn't hold it.
And then when did that feeling go away?
It began when I started caring for my mom in my home, which was probably the most miserable 2 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And I just would eat not big meals at a time, but continuously because of, you know, as I've learned, poor distress tolerance or emotion regulation. So I've went to binge eating therapy for about 6 months, 3 days a week, 3 hours a night with a lot of therapy that included DBT and CBT therapy and such as that. So I was interested in the weight loss program that you have. What kind of skill set does that include? Are those two types of therapies included in that?
No skill set is involved. Otherwise, it wouldn't work because this isn't about skill, right? And so here's the thing. Here's the good news you may have forgotten about. You want to hear the good news?
Please.
You're 50 pounds lighter than your maximum weight, and you're calling for help versus what I see happening so often. A person, 290, you get whatever kind of medical procedure is there. You go to 320 after you've had this wonderful experience. Now, did you have any counseling after the surgery?
After, yes, because after was when I was taking care of my mother and was in binge eating disorder therapy at the same time.
Okay, did you have an individual therapist working with you?
Yes, it was required for the program. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so what did that person say to you when you started gaining the weight back? What were the strategies or the things that were being laid out for you?
I don't think I gained a fair amount of weight back at that time because my stomach, you know, it was still so soon after the surgery that it's not a lot. Now, okay. Though, it isn't about the weight. I think it's about my behavior set. That is, I'm using food. Well, what I'm using now is alcohol.
But Gina, hold on. So you're saying that when you started to override the surgery, you weren't seeing a counselor at that time?
I have gained more of late than earlier on, of course, as the surgery restrictions allow. So I haven't seen a therapist since. Well, that's not true. I saw one last year in San Diego.
Last year.
So it's been at least a year.
Okay. That's what I...
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what did you say about alcohol?
I've replaced food with alcohol.
Mm-hmm. How's that going?
Well, you know how it's going, so I'm calling you.
I do know how it's going. Okay. So.
And we're so glad you did.
Yeah, really glad that you did.
I'll interject this in, because this is the third time I've called y'all. My daughter also has, 3 years ago, decided she's homosexual, and so that's thrown, you know, in the mix. And so I guess that I don't handle things well.
Well, I don't know of many parents that know how to handle things going in a way that they never predicted or wanted to have happen. So let me just talk you through this a little bit.
All right.
So, Gina, when we talk about lose it for life, we're not talking about the weight, although that is one of the benefits of losing the it. And there is an it there, the thing that drives whatever the compulsion is. And you've hit the head on the nail when you say, okay, I just replaced the food with alcohol. So what is the – here's the question. There's no skill set here, but let's say what is the path that more people have taken than any other path that has led them having victory – over something that has totally come to own them. And you have to land on the 12 steps. You have to go there. And that's really not the focus of lose it for life. But when I hear somebody that has replaced the food with the alcohol, I just think you're probably never going to have victory unless you get into a 12-step program. Okay, what were you going to say about that?
But who is it that I need to forgive? What you know, I'm vaguely familiar with the 12 steps and the soul searching and the forgiveness. And I'm not really kind of, I mean.
It's so much more than forgiveness.
Well, but here's the thing, Gina. What do you have to lose by just exploring that? What do you have to lose by checking it out further?
I think it'll make me sad.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. You know, grief is something that we really try to avoid, isn't it? Mm. It's like we don't like to feel bad. We don't like to... we don't...
Because it has a lot of energy, and I would rather do that doing something else, yes.
Yeah, but instead, you're spending a lot of energy avoiding the very thing that could free you up to do so many other things.
Yeah,
and my hours of worrying about weight loss and my weight and what I look like. So I could have solved world hunger.
Exactly.
Or something.
So you'd rather spend all of your time spinning on all of that, because those are some good things, right? But it's not getting to the heart of the issue for you. So you just keep spinning those things to stay away from your grief and the pain.
And right?
Will this program or whatever, how do I know what I'm grieving for?
Well, you'll discover that, Gina. I think one of the things about going through the 12 steps is that it's an uncovering process. You know, we will identify that things are out of control. That's usually the first step of, you know, just recognizing my life is out of control. And then you start to work through the process in a supportive, non-judgmental, safe place. All of those things are so important for our own healing and growth. And then you start to figure out, it's this thing that I, you know, haven't forgiven, or that person. You just said,
I'm not a safe place because it is very mean to me.
Wait, what's
mean to you?
My mind. It's not a safe place.
Right. Well, look, here's something for you, Gina. You were talking about forgiveness and things like that that are part of the 12 steps, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there are 12 steps.
Uh-huh.
And they're meant to be taken step one before step two. Now, you have to get to step one before you can ever get to step two. And you've proven that you have rejected the first step of the 12 steps all your life. You know what that step is?
Remind me.
Okay. It's that I cannot manage this on my own. Now, let me tell you the evidence that you think you can manage it. You not only are you not involved in a recovery program or a support group, but you, when you start gaining the weight back, you immediately didn't call a counselor, a therapist, or someone to say, whoa, I went through all this. I've experienced all these great feelings, and now look at me. I've gained 5 pounds. So when we come to the 12-step recovery program, we are saying, I have an extreme limitation. It doesn't mean that I'm a loser in every area of my life. I can do a lot of things great, but there's one area
right.
I have an extreme limitation in, and you've never fully been able to accept that. That's called surrender. Mm-hmm. And it gets better. You say, I can't do this on my own, and now the second step is I come to understand that God really could do this with me. That's an amazing understanding. You think, oh, I know God can do it. Well, yeah, but you understand it in such a unique way that you take the third step and you totally surrender all of this stuff to God. And here's what's so unique. It just drives me nuts. When I surrender to God, I become willing to listen to other human beings. Now, isn't that weird? Why don't I just surrender to God and then he tells me what to do? Well, God doesn't work that way because he wants us to be in relationship with others. And so when you finally surrender, a phone call to a radio show isn't enough. You want to sit down with somebody that can lead you and guide you. So you get some help from a clinician, and you're going to need a really great clinician, and we can find one for you. But then also, you want some companions who have been through the same thing that can encourage you, confront you. All of this on a path that is proven to help more people than any other path that I know. So here's what I'm going to do. I've got a workbook on eating disorder, and it's for overeating that goes with the Life Recovery Bible. I'm going to send it to you. And I'm going to say, and then I'm going to do this, too. They tell me, don't send so many resources. We don't have enough money. But I'm going to send you Lose It for Life, too. I'm going to send that. And then I'm going to recommend that you listen to the videos that I've been doing on Facebook Live about Lose It for Life. And that'll tell you what you need to know there. But, Gina, the worst thing I would hear from you is I'm going to try harder this time. You need to try.
I'm exhausted.
Okay. I know. Can I just say, Gina, here's the thing. We will spin, and I think that's what you said, mm-hmm. Joel, that we spin around things, and what we want you to do is get into a process so that the next time you call us, you will be saying, guess what? I'm not spinning anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even care about your weight. It's literally, I've got a path forward, and I am not struggling. I can identify why I overeat or why I want to drink or this relationship with my daughter or grieving the loss of my mother. All of those things, you'll have a deeper understanding, and it won't be overwhelming you.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it happen. We know that it can.
Well, right. And you've already done the research, Gina. You've proven that... Right? When you have a structure, when you allow other minds in, things happen, right? So now you got to take it a step further and not stay in your own mind.
And so that if we ask again, what are you doing to deal with this? You don't say, a year ago I went to a counselor.
Yeah.
You'll say, this week I saw a counselor and went to my group and I've worked on the workbook and I connected with friends.
And life is better.
Gina?
But I also think that the therapist,
I don't think anything we said changed anything in your mind. That's what I think.
You'll see.
Hmm?
I said, yep. Now, Steve, you know that.
Well, you're already talking about this therapist you don't have yet. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're all going to pray for Gina. We're going to pray for courage to do the tough thing. My wife's little phrase of humbling down is so important for all of us, and we really need all the encouragement we can get, but we never get encouragement if we don't open ourselves up, humble down, and be in community with other fellow strugglers. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. Before anybody gets gastric bypass or what, any kind of medical procedure, you ought to pick up Lose It for Life and read that book cover to cover. You're going to do something that's going to, well, your health is, they tell you, they have you sign all sorts of waivers. It puts your overall health in danger, in jeopardy. So read this. It's going to help you, because you don't want to go through all that. Experience the greatness of the loss, and then you gain it all back.
I always think about what are the excuses that we have in our lives to keep us from doing the very thing that's going to bring the freedom and the life that we really want. And I always think about St. Francis of Excusi, you know, the yeah. woman who was at one of our Lose It for Life, who gave us 10,000 different excuses. And it's like, so you gotta be able to define mm-hmm. what is my excuse for not doing the very thing that I need to do.
You know, I can, whenever you bring up that story, I am there in that moment all over again.
Let's Me go too. To,
well, it's easier just to eat you guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Is
all
it?
Right. Let's go to Tiffany. Champaign, Illinois. I mean, look at these names. Tiffany.
I love
Champaign,
it.
Yeah. Illinois. Sirius XM. How you doing, Tiffany? What's going on?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'll have to pass that on to my mom. Good choice, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. we have 5 children. I'm calling about our 15-year-old today. One of those times that you feel like, you know, it's not my first rodeo. How do we not? You know, my husband and I are like, we should know the answers, but we don't. So every kid is different. So we're phoning a friend.
What does she fall in birth order, your 15-year-old?
Oh, she's right in the middle.
Okay.
Surprise. Yes.
So, what are the other ages? Just curious. But, what are the other ages?
They're all spread out. We've got 22, 19, 15 is her, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then 8 just turned 4. So
eight.
She's
wow.
a big sister, and then, yeah, yep. So
okay. What is the question for us?
Go ahead.
What's the question for us?
Well, I'm trying to find a better way to navigate, of course, my relationship with her. She's feeling like the oddball out a lot. We're pretty conservative as far as, like, she was the last kid to get a phone at 14. We don't allow social media. She didn't get to do sleepovers until she was 15. We're in a really small community, so it's easy to be the only kid that doesn't get to do X, Y, Z. And she's pretty good with all that. She knows we monitor her phone. I don't go and read all the texts, but she's open. I think that's a good, like, accountability piece anyway, just to know, hey, that's not really your phone. We're letting you use it. So TikTok is an app that she knows that she's not allowed to have. It's just on our list of, like, no-goes for several reasons. And we found out last week she did have it. And so So I didn't tell her. I just kind of ventured into a conversation and asked just to allow her the opportunity to tell me. And
did she
just broke down with
mm-hmm.
her. She did. It's beautiful.
And what did
she
you do?
Always since she was really little.
What did you do?
Just held her and let her cry for Aww. Ever and sat on her bed, and I said, She couldn't hardly even talk or answer me.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I always mess up. My older brother says, you know, they let you do more if you wouldn't. But when she it's all relative. I mean, she doesn't do big things. She just
what's the question
about
for us?
Little things like this.
What's the question for us?
How can I keep from? So one of her comments, as we continue to talk until 3 a.m, is my friend told me I should just tell you, but I knew you wouldn't let me have it. So I can't. She's feeling like she can't share because then the answer's no. Or not right now, mm-hmm. or she gets in trouble. Like right now, she's without her phone. She's grounded because there has to be.
For how long?
Through got 2 weeks. I mean, her older sister lost her phone for, you know, poor text or receiving, not being open about text she was receiving that she shouldn't have been for a month back in the day. So my husband wants it to be a month, you know, and
I have a question
right
for
we're
you.
Only a week into it.
Yeah. As we're forming, and every time we're talking, you know, we're trying to think about what we're going to be asking and stuff. Why
sure.
didn't she, in a small town where everybody's got a phone, everybody knows what they're doing, why didn't she get, some parents are going to think, oh my gosh, he's a heretic. Why didn't she get a phone until she was 15? What's the thinking there?
We just didn't feel like it was just a... I guess the responsibility piece. We just didn't feel like it's hard to talk about it without insulting or offending people because there's
well,
lots of little kids.
But
on
Tiffany,
phones,
but just tell us the truth.
Yeah, we're talking to you. I'm wondering, did you
sure.
start with
we
the 22 year old?
Like,
did you start with the 22 year old with these kind of rules, and then just we're gonna? It's like a blanket statement for
down.
Everybody in the house.
So we're blended. So the first two are my stepchildren, and they had theirs. At probably 12, but to communicate with the parent whose home they were not at that week. They go week to week, or they used to go week to week. But it is not specific to her because of any infractions or anything. It is a household. Same with the sleepovers. She didn't do anything wrong. We just are
okay.
more conservative. In
Thank you for that.
Test,
we're going to take
really.
A break, come back. We're going to give you some help. I'm glad you called.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, so we're talking with Tiffany. Tiffany, you've got a father here who I kind of, in some ways, raised Madeline a lot of her years. I was the primary parent. You've got two moms here. What's the question for us about your daughter?
What can I do to better facilitate that trust without feeling like we're chasing our tail? She's feeling like she can't tell me because she knows the answer's no or
right.
Will be disciplined. And I want to continue to progressively, as we have in step, give her more freedom. And so she can develop that trust through learning life skills. And
okay.
That,
okay.
You know,
so Tiffany, I have a question. Tiffany, I have a question for you. Is
sure.
your husband her father?
No.
Okay. And what is her?
He adopted her.
Go ahead and finish that.
My husband,
you adopted her?
Yep.
Okay.
She is my biological daughter, but my husband adopted her right after we got married when she was, he's been in her life since she was one. I came from a abusive, unhealthy relationship, so
okay.
that contact is zero.
Okay.
Which I was another piece that, you know, if you guys had another week, I'm like, she's searching for something, you know.
Well,
That's one piece I would say, as far as her repercussions, her older brother had seen some of the videos, and they weren't terrible. She's a great dancer, but she knew they were a little edgy. They were pushing the envelope.
Okay.
And so that's another reason why we were a little...
Right.
You know,
every parent, Jill and I and Steve, we've all raised them, and it is scary to be a parent in this technology age. But the goal that you have in front of you is to have this open communication with her so that she can bring to you anything that she has going on. So she told you,
yes.
I can't tell you because I know what the answer is going to be. So there's where your work is, Tiffany. You have to start to become the person that can hear it, even if you don't like it. And what you're doing is you're going to teach her how to become a young adult who then becomes a woman who takes pride in who she is, makes really good choices, not out of fear base and not because she's been locked down, but because she had love from you and from her stepdad, who's pretty much her dad because he's raised her.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative is, I can be open with those people who love me, and they're going to help me make really good choices, as opposed to what she's feeling right now, which is shame. She feels shame because she, you know, because she's been shut down. And I'm sure that some of what happens, and Jill, you can talk about this, as a parent, we are scared to death about what trouble they're going to get into.
Oh, absolutely.
And so you come with that big, hard no. And what we want to do is have a place for her to be able to be totally safe with you as opposed to being safe with other people. And isn't it interesting? Her friends were telling her to tell you.
Well, that is so interesting.
Yes.
So she's around good people. And what you want to start to do have her be able to articulate, you know, when she starts to feel that those feelings of shame or fear or I don't want to tell the truth or I want to hide something, what's happening for her? What's the conflict in that? And learning how to say no to oneself versus just having a parent tell you no. You want her to take over that responsibility. And so I think while she's in the home,
this is the conversation that we continue to have that we had for hours and hours. Like,
okay,
I need you to be able to call me if you're in a bad situation. I need
but she's got a conflict there because part of her wants to and part of her doesn't want to.
And here's the thing, Tiffany, you could tell her all day long that she can come to you, but until she experiences that, that's a whole different day. So what that looks like is not checking in with her all the time. You could even say to her, you know, I know we stayed up till 3 a.m. I'm trying to convince you that I am that safe person, but I want to show you. And then you begin to have places of connection that are not about a rule or not about some obligation. Because in parenting, it's real easy to become the police officer. And then you don't have a relationship. And so you gotta bridge that gap.
And one of the things, too, you know, when we venture out and we make choices on our own, we have to be willing to accept consequences for those choices, right? So if, like, you make adult choices, then you get adult consequences. And that's just naturally what happens in life. So having those conversations, I mean, you may feel like, oh my gosh, we're like talking this over and over and over again. That's what this age is. That's how they get to know themselves. That's how they individuate. You know, we have all kinds of conversations in my house going over the same stuff over and over again. But when there's freedom to talk and they can hear themselves talk, makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. How We Love Our Kids is a book I'm going to send to you. I hope that will be helpful to you. One final comment I want to make, and that is that I see passivity on the one hand with parents, and I see extreme measures on the other. And where you want to be is what that particular child needs. And, you know, even when you take a phone away for 2 weeks, I just wonder if there isn't some great value after a week or so to be able to say to that child, you know, I see some changes in your attitude and stuff, and you've handled this well. I want to give you an opportunity to earn your phone back sooner.
Great idea.
And so now you've got some positive stuff coming in, and they feel like more...
It's really amazing what kids are thinking about their parents.
Yeah.
And when you become in charge like that, that's you don't want that. You love them.
Yeah.
But there are some that do want that, which is really scary. But it's really to create a relationship where there's connection and trust. And it takes a lot of steps. But I love that idea that you just revisit it and say, okay, let's shorten that. We don't need to go all 2 weeks.
All right, let's go to Diane Altmore, Alabama, or whatever. Atmore. Anyway, she's there in Alabama, WEGS. And hi, Diane, how are you? Hi.
I'm good. How are you? Thank you. My heart is pounding with nervousness and gratitude that I'm on the air, actually, though. Thank you.
You're welcome. How could we help today?
I'll try to make it brief and concise, and then you can ask questions if you need to. My husband and I have been married 14 years. We're both Christians. In December, we had an argument, and I can say it's probably our first argument. We can't seem to move past that.
Okay, 14 years, you've had one argument? In 14 years, you've had one argument?
Yes, I know.
So you don't have a lot of practice.
In itself.
Yeah, okay. And
that is a conversation in itself. Yeah. You're right, Diane.
So, let me just ask you one question for clarity.
Yes.
In the midst of the argument, what was the most negative thing you said about your husband or to your husband?
I called him a name that a Christian woman should not say. But what he says the most negative thing was is that he, at one point, and I don't remember this, but I said, "Don't threaten me." And I did not mean physically, but 6 months later, almost, he insists that I meant that I was scared of him physically.
Uh-huh.
And he is holding on to that despite my prayer and confession, and that I truly did not mean that. It was, you know, heat of the moment, and I think he was either threatening to leave or... I don't know, but
okay. Well, I have a question.
I'm not scared of him physically. Yes,
but I have a question, Diane. What do you even remember? What the argument was about? Like, what was the subject? I mean, just that
honestly,
pause.
No, I think it was a compilation of things he had been frustrated with me for. I don't know what we had a couple little disagreements prior to that, and he hit his head on something, which typically makes him very angry, and he threw something, and that's when I called him the name, and basically said, "Stop being a jerk."
So, Diane, I don't know what your question is, but I want to make a couple of observations. You just explained why you haven't had an argument in 14 years, because he gets angry when he bumps his head, and he's got this list of things that you know how to dance around, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a precarious relationship.
Yeah.
So before we go to the break, what is your question for us?
My question is, how do I convince him that I did not mean what he thinks I did?
Okay.
And
we get
move
it.
Forward.
We'll help you with that.
With forgiveness.
Yeah. Why is it that when a woman says we aren't able to get beyond this, what she's really saying is he
exactly.
is not. And that's why I ask, what was the most negative thing? So we're going to try to help both of you get to a different place. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the number you could use if you decide you want to help us help others.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here, and if you're single and you don't want to get into any kind of marriage that's got all sorts of problems, join us on the 13th for Finding Freedom. We can help you find the freedom before you lose it when you get married and get trapped. How about that?
Exactly.
All right. So now we're going back to Diane here. What do you guys think is the most important thing for us to help her with?
So, Diane, you said your question was, how can I convince him that I didn't mean what I said in that argument, right?
Correct. I just was talking verbal intimidation, not physical at all.
Right.
We just need to be able to move forward.
Those are incidentals. Those are
right.
as important. I think one of the bigger questions, first of all, you can't convince anybody to do anything, okay? Because you're not that powerful. If you were, you wouldn't be calling us today. And that's not because it's you, Diane, but literally there, you know, that takes some manipulation. And that's not what you are. That's not what you want to do. Jill had...
Well, yeah, do you want me to...
Yeah, go ahead
yeah,
and say what
well,
you were going to say.
Because... You know, Diane, there is something obviously very threatening to him about what he heard. So we often hear the thing that we fear. But you are asking us, really, like your question is really, how can I return to the original dance? How can I keep dancing around him so he doesn't get upset? I want to convince him so we can go back to where we were. And we're not, I'm sorry to say this, we're not thinking where you were was the best place for you to end up. And that
I was too passive.
Yes, and I think you've been too passive. And he is easily angered and easily threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that,
well,
you know.
Well, the bigger thing, too, is, Diane, how connected do you guys feel? Like, do you feel connected to him?
Not right now.
No.
Prior to that, I did.
Okay. Okay. But there doesn't seem... So I think the approach, instead of convincing him, it's to take a new approach. Sweetheart, I know you've had a hard time getting past our argument. There was something in what I said that you took as very threatening to you as a person, and that somehow has really, you know, hit... on a very deep level. I think this is an opportunity for us to look at how we maybe just pacify one another.
Well, and I would also say, Diane, one of the things that we do in recovery all the time is just own it. Just say, mm-hmm. I apologize that what I said was hurtful to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you just say that. Now, here's the other part of that. Then you're going to have... You have said that?
Without defending and trying to convince them you didn't mean it? Because it's not that you're saying you meant that. Okay, you're not saying you meant it. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I apologize for the impact it had on you.
Right, because a lot of times when we extend an apology, we really want it to feel better. We want to feel better. We want them to feel better. And that doesn't usually happen that quickly. And so when you know that he has an offense, like he's been offended, all you can do is apologize for the offense, move on, and you begin the process of healing. Now, if he can't let that go, then that is another indicator that, well, honey, we've got some work to do, and it may require outside help. Now, I don't know if he'd be open to that, if he's mad about bumping his head, but, you know, I think if you guys hadn't had an argument in 14 years, you've got some communication challenges that need to be worked on so that you can have open and honest conversation where you have, each of you can have your own feelings without it becoming this big volcano.
I think you're fortunate that this happened, because I think if it hadn't happened, you might be another 14 years without any kind of honest relationship. And that's really what we're talking about. When two people are honest, you're going to have some conflict. It doesn't have to be death-defying or divorce-producing. But conflict is really something that helps us grow together. If it's handled well, we appreciate the person we're married to even more, or we understand them even more. Whether we think they're right or not, we can say, oh, well, I totally get why. But if two people don't show up and there's never a conflict, we don't ever get beyond the superficiality of kind of like a dating relationship and walking on eggshells.
Well, and you know what? Conflict is good for us, too, because we're not perfect. Yeah. And well, and some of the worst conversations that I've had with my husband have turned out to be really insightful for the growth that I have mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
And it just makes us better as we can kind of move through the conflict and find what the good is and go forward.
Somebody I have a lot of conflict with, Larry Sonnenberg, is in the studio today. And Larry, let's talk about something we agree on, and that is this ministry needs partners to help us help others, whatever they're going through.
Well, it does. And I'm just thinking of this phone call. I've been sitting listening to this, and I think of this relationship that has an opportunity and chance now to grow and be different. And I'm thinking about the hundreds, probably thousands of other people that have had a similar situation. And the reason you can be on radio giving these points is that people support our ministry with a donation.
Yeah.
And that's why we need the donations, along with a dozen other reasons of way we intersect with people's lives and their lives change. And, you know, God does the work, but you guys are the mouthpiece, and the Spirit is telling you what to say and how to say it. And it's amazing how you do it. So if you can support that, we need your help. I mean, it's really simple. This is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we exist because folks like you are willing to make a gift to New Life. Right now, that gift will be doubled. And I'm hoping we can end this matching gift very soon. We've got a ways to go, but by the end of June, we really want to get this matched. And that's going to take some extra level of support. It's going to take some of you giving maybe a little more than you thought you wanted to or could. But I'm just asking you to please make a self-assessment and look at how much you can give and when you can give it.
Well, I know this. There are some people, because of what we've been through, you really aren't in a very strong place financially. Others, your job and things haven't been impacted. And you're spending less money than ever. You're not going out to eat. You haven't been driving your car around. And if you have some extra, maybe you could invest it. And when you send it to us, well, we just try to help another person. And when you've got a matching gift, here's what it means. Rather than one person being reached, maybe it's two. Rather than 10, maybe it's 20 that we can reach and help. And don't forget, this literally is the only counseling that some people ever get. And sometimes folks that would never go to a counselor, never talk about Jesus at work, never even say they have a spiritual side, in the privacy and secrecy, you could say, of their automobile or out on a jog, they'll listen to this program. And it can and does change people's lives just from that perspective. Now, increase that awareness of that person to where one day they're willing to step into every man's battle or to restore or finding freedom. And now we've really made some inroads here. We can't do it without you, but with you, we can do so much more than you ever dreamed. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com and tell us you want to be part of the giving family. Thank you, Larry. And let me just mention, I don't have time to go to the other calls. Oh, I feel so horrible. Call us back. We'll be in the studio tomorrow for 2 hours. And you tell them I was on hold yesterday. And we'll try to get to your call first. We love you. And we care about you. And we know these are tough times. Don't beat yourself up. We've got enough tough stuff out there, much less to do inside stuff. Get some help. Get some support. Call us if we can help you, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you at 5 o'clock for Facebook Live. Come join me.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.